Got something on your mind? Tell Lisa all about it. 203-333-9422. It's the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show today. So on Wednesday, and as soon as I have the link, I promise I'll post it on the Facebook page. We're going to be doing at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6 a We Speak Pink Breast Health Panel. And this is sponsored by the Northern Westchester Hospital Center for Healthy Living. So joining us right now is Dr. Julia Schaefer. Is it Cotillo or Cotillo? Because I want to pronounce Cotillo. It correctly, Doctor. Cotillo.
Good morning. So Dr. Schaefer, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi. So Dr. Cotillo is a medical oncologist. She is with Northern Westchester Hospital at 203-333-9422. The doctor is in so that you can ask any questions about breast cancer treatment, breast health altogether. Hello, Dr. Cotillo. Welcome to the show. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lisa.
Sure. It's a pleasure.
Here.
So now you're not the cutter, right? We interviewed Dr. Chatterjee, the surgeon, last week.
That is correct.
So you're not cutting the breast, but for a lot of people that get a diagnosis of breast cancer, they never need to see a surgeon. I mean, not a lot, but some. And so Tell us about your role in terms of, you know, are you sort of like the GP, if you will, if somebody gets a breast cancer diagnosis? Are you the person they're going to for every little decision along the way?
I would say that's accurate representation. So, you know, I care for women, you know, sometimes before they're diagnosed, but most of the time it's after a diagnosis of breast cancer. But I follow them through the initial treatment, you know, get them through chemo if they need chemo, get them through anti-estrogen treatment if they need that. And then I follow them through survivorship for many, many years. And, you know, I have many patients that are 10, 20, you know, sometimes even 30 years out, and, you know, they're still coming, you know, once a year to, you know, talk about what's new with breast cancer and for exams and imaging review and things like that. So, yeah, I kind of do all of that. And, you know, the entire time I'm following them, I focus on their general health and then also making sure that their breast health and that there's no evidence of any cancer recurrence or any kind of problem there. So, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Julia Schaefer Cotillo. I see that you did your residency at Yale, at Yale New Haven Hospital.
I did.
I did. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. Amazing place to work. I got a great experience. So this is where I did my general medical training. So, you know, as medical oncologists, what we do is we initially get our degree, obviously from medical school, but then we go on to do an internship and a residency in internal medicine. And that's where I was at Yale. And I got to work with some fantastic people over there, really great training. And then what happens is then you move on to fellowship. So, in my case, I did an extra 3 years in hematology and oncology. So at the end of that, you take another board exam to get certified to do hematology and oncology. So it's really, you know, to do hematology and oncology, you need about 6 years of postgraduate training. So, you know, that's why we sort of, you know, as you mentioned, the GP of oncology, you know, that's kind of what we do. You know, we focus on all aspects of how the patient's doing, you know, their kidney function, their liver function, all of that is part of internal medicine. And breast cancer can potentially affect all of those things. So we really need to keep track of all those things. But yeah, I can't say enough great things about Yale and my time there. And I think very fondly of it.
So, yeah, well, they've since, I mean, with all these mergers and acquisitions, Yale is no longer just Yale. Yale is now Greenwich Hospital, Bridgeport
huge.
Hospital.
It is. But, you know, I think with Northwell, the organization I'm with now is really a fantastic organization also. I can't say enough good things about them. They really have grown as well. And I just to share with you, if it's okay, a short
sure.
story. I first came to know Northwell as a patient. So I actually came to Northern Westchester Hospital as a patient, and I had a surgery, a routine surgery, and about 2 weeks later, I had an emergency bleeding episode in the middle of the night, and I'll tell you, I came here, and the response was phenomenal. I mean, from the ER to going into the surgery, they had to take take me into surgery at 3 o'clock in the morning to stop the bleeding. And I, you know, was in real danger. And I'll tell you, they all came to bat for me and basically saved my life. I mean, so I really can't say enough great things about the institution. And then, you know, at the time I was working in private practice up in Fishkill and Poughkeepsie. And then when I heard that there was an opening for a medical oncologist here, I jumped at the opportunity because I said, wow, this is a great place. I mean, fantastic hospital. And, you know, as a medical oncologist, I was really looking for a cancer center, multidisciplinary. And when I interviewed here and I met Dr. Chatterjee, who's the surgeon, and I just saw the Cancer and Wellness Center that's here. I mean, you will not find that anywhere else. Unbelievable. I mean, the services they provide for the patients. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's above and beyond. It really is. So, you know, I think.
And it also has a very homey feel when you go to the place.
It does.
Like it's like very, for a hospital, it still feels very welcoming and, I don't know, neighborhoody and nice. It just has a nice feeling about it inside the building.
Yes.
It does.
It does. It totally does. So I, you know, that I was very attracted to. And, you know, I left my private practice of 11 years to come down here, and it's been wonderful. And, you know, I have a fair number of patients who are coming still to see me, you know, down to my new practice, but I'm definitely looking to build the practice. And I think that's the key here too, is that it has so much potential for growth. And, especially in the breast arena with myself and Dr. Chatterjee, I mean, you know, even though I do all of oncology, I really focus on breast cancer, and I think that we can really, you know, as two women involved in breast cancer and the treatment of breast cancer and the overall treatment of women, I think, you know, there's no limits to, you know, how we can grow the program and, you know, take advantage of all the supportive care that we have to support our women. It's fantastic.
With Dr. Julia Schaefer-Cotillo at 203-333-9422. Let me ask you something, Dr. Cotillo.
Sure.
Can we prevent breast cancer?
That's a great question. I guess it's a complicated answer. I would say yes and no. I think there are certain things that we can do within our control to reduce the risk of getting breast cancer. Some of the things are out of our control, right? Like our genetics and things like that, and you know, possibly our environment. But there are definitely things that we can do to keep ourselves healthy. So I think, you know, exercise, eating right, maintaining a healthy weight, and going for your mammograms, you know, going for your mammograms and catching things maybe before they turn into cancer. You know, this is the whole point, is that, you know, you find something maybe that's atypical cells and you can remove it. And, you know, maybe you catch that before getting cancer, and then you can come to me, and, you know, sometimes we'll do even some medications to help reduce the risk of getting cancer in high risk women. So, yes. So I think the answer is yes and no. There are certain things that we can control, certain things that we can't. But I think, you know, we all should be exercising more and eating right and, you know, really focusing on our health, because overall, not just for breast cancer, but just overall for all of our health, it's really important.
Do you recommend, do you think it will be something that people are going to be advised to do eventually? To sort of get, they had this place called the Princeton Longevity Center. I don't know much about them, but my sister went there years ago. And every 2 or 3 years she goes and she gets her entire body scanned. And she did this with her husband, who unfortunately passed away. He was much older than she, but he passed away from cancer. He had a thyroid cancer that came back. And they caught that it came back early because she did these overall body scans. I'm just wondering, as somebody in medical oncology, we talk a lot about the breast. That's the obvious one. I also go for ovary scans. But what about our overall, what about like the whole body? Should we be doing like, you know, Dr. McCoy in Star Trek and going in and going, and, you know, one day with an iPhone, we'll be able to tell if anything is wrong. We're going to get to that one day. I know we will.
Yeah,
but
I think for now, I think the jury's still out on that. I wouldn't advise that anybody do that. I think, you know, just maintaining their cancer screening and talking to their doctors and, you know, making sure they know, like, for example, you know, women that are high risk, you know, should be getting more screening. So, like, especially women that have a family history or have certain heritage, you know, they may need to get more screening. And I think talking to their doctors about it and making sure the doctors are aware of these factors to do screening, the appropriate type of screening. Because, you know, Lisa, the problem is if you start doing these whole body scans, you start finding things that maybe are not relevant and may lead to additional testing that could be detrimental for the patient. So, you know, it is a risk benefit, and I don't think we've really found that balance yet with sort of like whole body screening. But I think really just going to your doctor, staying on top of your screening, and definitely discussing these issues with them, you know, hey, you know, I have, you know, three family members that had breast cancer. Should I have genetic testing? You know, like talking to them about these complicated issues, but in a medical way so that we can be clear and understand what the risk is and, you know, maybe do additional testing or send the patient for a genetics referral, you know, to have those discussions. So I think, so in terms of the whole body scanning, I would say no, but but in terms of the screening and staying, not yet.
Right.
Not
right.
yet. And in terms of staying on top of screening and just general health, I would say yes, definitely.
So I have a comment from a listener. We're chatting with Dr. Julia Schaefer-Cotillo, and the doctor says the listener says a friend of hers was diagnosed with Paget's cancer, which is cancer of the nipple.
Mm-hmm.
She's currently awaiting gene results and was, quote, pretty set on having a double mastectomy. The friend is just asking in general, what is that? And, you know, what is that? And it sounds pretty drastic to have a double mastectomy, doesn't it, with that kind of diagnosis?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's a very complicated discussion, you know, when you're diagnosed with, in this case, Paget's, which is a very specific form. You know, like, again, I don't know all the details about this, whether it's actually a cancer or not in her case. It sounds like it is. You know, in any event, you know, to discuss a bilateral mastectomy, it's really a personal decision between the patient and her surgeon and a discussion regarding the genetics, right? So, like, yes. If she has, you know, a very strong family history and she comes back positive for a gene that puts her at high risk of breast cancer, then, you know, certainly I think that it's worth a discussion about the pros and cons of doing that. But you're talking about a quite major surgery that really, you know, requires a very complicated discussion regarding the risks and benefits of doing that. Because we are trying to do more breast-conserving surgery now, for sure, when we can, because it is, you know, less aggressive and, you know, less complication risk and, you know, less cosmetic detriment in some cases. So, I always encourage patients to really discuss that, you know, with their doctors and discuss it with their plastic surgeons or the reconstructive surgeons. You know, it really takes kind of that coordination between the breast surgeon and the plastic surgeon to make that determination, what's the right treatment.
I've got one more question for you. We're chatting with Dr. Schaefer-Cotillo of Northern Westchester Hospital. This is a question from a listener. Do you still lose your hair with chemotherapy for breast cancer?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. So most of the chemotherapies that we do do have hair loss as a side effect, but we do now have a technology called DignaCap. We actually have it at Northern Westchester Hospital at the Cancer Institute, and what it is it's a special cap that's kept at a very cold temperature by a refrigerated machine. So it's basically like a refrigerator, and it makes this cap, so like a hat, very, very cold. And what it does is it freezes the cells that make your hair, and it prevents the hair from falling out. Now, it's not 100%, so a lot of women do still have some hair thinning, but I've had a number of patients go through it, and it is very positive. They are able to keep a lot of their hair. Like I said, you know, it varies from case to case, of course, but it does work, and it is an additional cost. It is, you know, some additional, you know, sort of factors that the woman has to consider when she's starting her chemo, but, you know, I do offer it to my patients because, you know, the hair loss is psychologically and
yes.
physically, right? One of the most damaging things that women have to go through. It's traumatic.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen over and over again. And to be able to offer this service is like you know, a game changer. It's really a game changer. And, you know, a question I get asked a lot too, which is kind of like a follow-up question to that, is does it increase the risk of cancer in the scalp? Because, you know, we are freezing the scalp. And they've done studies on this, and it turns out it doesn't. So it is a safe technique. Yeah, it's a safe technique.
Doctor,
it does work.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have a caller who would like to ask you a question, and we're running up against the clock. John from Bridgeport. Hi, John. Welcome to the show today. You're on the air with the doctor. John, can you turn off your radio, please? John? Andrew? Okay, John, you there? Yeah. All right, John, if you want to call back very quickly or tell Andrew your question, but there was a lot of an echo there. We're on the air with Dr. Julia Schaefer-Cotillo of Northern Westchester Hospital at 203-333-9422. And we're going to be able to take a lot of your questions at the seminar on Wednesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. As soon as I have that Zoom link, I promise to post it on Facebook. I want to thank you, Doctor, for being a part of that, and we're going to answer a lot of different questions about breast health.
Sure.
Not just because it's October, but because, you know, because people get diagnosed all the time, because it just is what
it is.
And in the midst of everything else. Is there anything you wanted to say about COVID and breast cancer, a final word before we have to let you go?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, COVID-19 and the pandemic that's currently going on has really turned things upside down for all walks of life. But what I would encourage women and anybody for that matter, that, you know, if they feel that there's something going on with their breast, they really need to go get it checked out and listen to their bodies, because, you know, we're all afraid of COVID and, you know, we're all taking precautions, but we don't want to delay the diagnosis or the treatment of breast cancer. That can be much more dangerous. And we here at Northern Westchester Hospital, and I know a lot of the other hospitals, are really being very careful and, you know, being very, very safe with our patients. So go for your mammogram. Don't delay it. We don't know how long this pandemic is going to go on. Nobody knows. So don't delay your breast care because of the pandemic. You know, wear your mask, use your hand sanitizer. They're taking precautions. Come and get your mammogram done. If you notice that something's wrong, don't ignore it. Get it checked out. I can't stress that enough. We are taking all the steps possible to, you know, continue to treat patients through this difficult time. But it really, you know, in just to give you an example, like, you know, women that need chemotherapy during breast cancer treatment, we're checking them for COVID regularly. We're checking everybody who comes in our suite regularly. So you can stay safe and still stay healthy from a breast and just in general health standpoint. So your mammograms I'm a big advocate for that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, mine was basically, well, I was 3 years. I was very bad. But even then, it was supposed to have been 6 months prior. But I made the appointment for July, and in July I was able to keep the appointment. So I would say now, just we're back into business as usual with respect to preventative care. Absolutely.
We need to.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I look forward to continuing
welcome.
The conversation on Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Thank you so much, Dr. Julia Schaefer-Cotillo of Northern Westchester Hospital, Division of Northwell. Thanks so much for being on the Lisa Wexler Show today. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we don't have any. Let me just see right now. All right, well, we've got noon. We're coming up. Clark Howard from noon to 2, and then Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow.